Now, here's your host of the Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Vols fall hard tonight up in Lexington. That was painful to watch. Well, thank God that's over. Not to bore you, but I kind of liken that to what I did yesterday when I was over at UT Hospital. And I had an epidural in my back. Tonight was like getting a shot right on the nerve of your back. That's what tonight's game was. I mean, you ain't stopping that. When they're scoring five for every one you're scoring, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. Tennessee falls tonight, 83-58, and all of a sudden you look up and the Vols are 6-7 in the league. With Missouri coming to town, 1 o'clock start Saturday in a game that, well, I'll say it right now, it's a big basketball game for this team. Now down to 14-12 on the year. Boy, wouldn't you love to get that Georgia game back, but that's not how it goes. That is not how it goes. Tennessee falls tonight. On a night where Monk had 16 at the half, but it was quiet. 14 of the 16 were in transition. Tennessee was not able to win the battle of controlling the tempo of that game. And when you can't do that with Kentucky, they're going to run you out. And the other thing that Kentucky did that they didn't do in the first game is they made Grant Williams extremely uncomfortable in the half-court offense. They ran at him tonight, which I noticed that they were able to do. So, some interesting developments all the way around. Tennessee led tonight by Schofield and Bone. And when that happens with this basketball team, they're not going to win a lot of games. They're just not. So, I'll bring the great Tony Jones in here now. The great Tony Jones. Tony, we talked after the game Saturday, and we'll bring Keith Hatfield in here momentarily, but we had talked after the game the other day, Tone, and in fact, I'll bring Keith in now. Happy Valentine's Day to both you clowns. You guys are both my Valentine. I don't know if that says about both of you, but there you go. We had talked about the importance of Tennessee of controlling this game tonight, which would give them an opportunity, because you can't let Kentucky go wild on the offensive end, because that feeds their defense. And tonight, Tennessee had five turnovers at the first five minutes into the game, and that just wasn't going to work tonight, guys. As I start with you, Tone, that wasn't going to work.
No, it wasn't going to work tonight. I mean, it was almost like Dick Vitale saying, you know, my mentor from Detroit University, Detroit Pistons, obviously a legend in college basketball. It was an M&M-er tonight. It was a mismatch. I didn't see this coming.
No.
You know, I do a Sunday TV show, The Locker Room, with Mark Packer and you know, Brent Hubbs and those guys, and Rob Lewis, and I thought that Tennessee had a formula to win in Lexington because they played so well in Knoxville and they controlled the game in Knoxville. That wasn't a game that Tennessee stole at the end. Tennessee controlled that game.
Right.
And I thought that Tennessee could come back after a disappointing loss against Georgia and really come in focused and really come in with an opportunity, a ESPN, a nationally televised game. But Kentucky just imposed their will. It was a mismatch. It was a tough game to watch.
Yep.
I'm going to say this name, and a lot of people are going to say Malik Monk. A lot of people are going to say Isaiah Briscoe and Bam Adebayo. The name is Derek Willis. That's the name.
Mm.
Derek Willis controlled the game. I mean, he,
yep.
His contribution, was the contribution that gave Kentucky the confidence to win going away like they did, Tennessee didn't have an answer for him.
No.
Obviously, we know Malik Monk gonna get his point.
Yeah.
We know what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
You know, Frisco gonna be a fighter.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox is gonna do his thing. Bam is gonna, you know, rebound the ball and have some intimidation factor out there. But Willis really played well. And, again, not a Robert Hub sighting. You know what? This is my thing. If you hurt, you're going to play. If you're injured, you can't play.
Exactly.
So if you're out there, you got to perform, especially when you had opportunity, to have a signature win, to get to the NCAA tournament, especially after the disappointing loss. Disappointing loss for Tennessee to lose 83-58. It wasn't a game. It was 47-32 at half. And Kentucky controlled the game. And let's not hear about the referees. Let's not hear about any of those other ancillary factors. Kentucky just was the better team tonight.
I'll tell you what, Keith, bring you in. Give me a couple thoughts on what we saw, and then we'll get to grab some phone calls. But Tony raised a lot of good points, Keith. We just kind of weren't in that basketball game. I mean, early on, there just weren't a lot of things happening that even let you know we were going to be in that game.
Well, no, and I mean, as somebody that watches a lot of NBA, that game had a real NBA feel to it tonight. And there are a lot of nights in the NBA when you play 82 of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rick Pitino was the first coach I remember really voicing this in college basketball, especially as the college season's gotten longer. There's some nights you don't make shots. I mean, honestly, you look at the numbers in the first half. If you're watching that as a game tape, and you just cut the plays off when guys release shots in the first half, Tennessee got as good a shots as Kentucky did. Tennessee just didn't make anything.
Do you see that, Tony? Do you think that, Tone?
We got some good shots. Yeah. I agree with Keith on that accord. We got some good shots, but we didn't make them. I've been in that arena.
It's tough.
Times. I've been in that arena 7 times.
Mm.
And it's an arena that can be daunting in some instances, but it's an arena that the rims are really soft, and if you throw up soft shots, those bounces will go. You know, we just in the first half, Kentucky was 10-17 from three. We were 2-7. I mean, that's just not a recipe. We didn't turn the ball over, overly turn the ball over, and our numbers for the game wasn't bad, but yet and still, we got quality shots.
Yep.
We just didn't make them. I think the only two guys that really showed up was Jordan Bone and Admiral Schofield, and I'm still looking for the rest of the guys that competed tonight.
You know, Keith, to your point, in the second half against Georgia, we didn't shoot the ball real well, so now all of a sudden, you kind of got to get a little worried about this team shooting the basketball, which is not good. Not a good time to have this point in the year.
Well, no. I mean, this isn't UCLA. This isn't something like you see with UCLA or Oregon or one of those, or Kentucky when you let them get out and play a free-flowing game. I mean, this isn't a great shooting team.
Right.
I mean, Jordan Bowden hasn't shot it as well as he will. I mean, he's had a couple of off games.
And yep.
Now, I would say, I thought, now he didn't have great numbers in that, but as far as being engaged in the game, especially the guy that Rick Barnes has had to pretty much take the jumper cables to a couple of times, I thought Shambari Phillips was okay.
Mm.
But I mean, he wasn't great, but Jordan Bone, I mean, when he has to be a primary scorer on that team, I agree with what you said out of the gate, Tony. That's not going to work.
No,
that's not. And Robert Hubbs, he's playing, and I agree with Tony. I agree with Tony, but if he's good, the thing is, he's not getting blown by on defense, and the things that normally happen to a guy that's injured. I mean, you got to play through that, and you got to be able to be out there and be productive. I mean, everybody this time of year is banged up and sore a little bit. Jerry West had a great old saying about it. The only days in life you're going to be productive are the ones where you feel great. You're not going to get a hell of a lot done.
We'll go to the phones, 865-200-5402. There's really not a whole lot you can look at in terms of the numbers, in this game with the exception of a couple of things, Tennessee turns the ball over 13 times tonight, and they, early on in the game, turned the ball over way too much. But for the most part, they're out-rebounded 43-35. Kentucky outscores Tennessee's bench 31-26. Points in the paint 32-18 in favor of the Cats. Kentucky 17 assists in the game. And that's the one thing Kentucky did tonight, guys. And they did it in Knoxville. They shared the ball really well. They had a couple of really pretty possessions earlier where they made the extra pass. The difference in tonight's game from the game we saw in Knoxville, they weren't making those shots. Tonight, they're making those shots, and you look up, and, I mean, they'll 7-8 point run you. I mean, you'll turn around, and it's a 9 point game, and then it's 17. And they can do that to you, bang. I mean, they do that better than anybody, maybe anybody in the country this side of UCLA, who you mentioned before, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, you look at them, I made the comparison earlier tonight. They're a lot, playing this Kentucky team's a lot like playing Houston in the NBA. If you let them get in just kind of an up and down, free flowing, almost summer league type game, that they're going to be problematic for you. They're a team, you've got to make them play 47 feet at a time and get up in people's jerseys. And I just don't, that wasn't what Tennessee did. And a big product of that is it's hard to really keep them out of the open floor and transition when they're never having to take the ball out of the basket. When they're already always taking it off a miss. And I think was the main problem tonight was Tennessee never made enough shots consistently and never had a run of four or five straight possessions where they scored that really ever slowed Kentucky's rhythm down offensively.
We'll go to the phones and get as many people in here tonight as humanly possible. If you want to get in, Tony Jones is joining, who of course is a head assistant coach under, Bruce Pearl here for the glory days. Keith Hatfield joining as well. And we'll get as many folks in here. Mark Griffin is on assignment this evening, the former Vol. We generally have a triumvirate of experts who join, but tonight we've got two, and then you've got me. And I'm not sure what to call myself, but let's go back to the phones, and we'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402 on a night where Tennessee gets smacked. Up in Lexington, fall to 14-12 overall, 6-7 in the SEC with a lot of work to do down the stretch here in an 18-game league schedule. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys, this is Sharp.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, happy VD to all of you.
Thank you.
You know, when the game started out, we weren't letting them get any offensive rebounds. And I was like, we can play with these guys. Then we start jacking up a lot of threes, missing them. But as the game progressed, every time we tried to work inside, they blocked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you guys, I think Kentucky was 10 of 17 in the first half from threes.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked, you were talking about a lot of them in transition. Were we playing a 2-3? In a lot of the first half, and they were hitting all these threes.
Tone, what did you think about what we were doing defensively in the first half, and what did you think we were doing defensively, Tone? Tony, I'm sorry. I gotta figure this out. Tony, go ahead. I'm sorry. My bad. What were we doing defensively, Tone?
I don't think it was a 2-3. I think it was just more of a sagging man defense, you know, trying to bait Kentucky into, you know, shooting perimeter shots because, you know, they're tough off the bounce and getting to the basket. Maybe on a couple possessions we switched up defenses and went to zone. I kind of disagree with the caller in the first half. We weren't jacking up a lot of threes. We only attempted 7 of them. Some of the intermediate shots we just didn't make. And that was problematic as far as us not getting second or third opportunities, multiple opportunities, and then Kentucky getting run out and things of that nature. It just wasn't in the cards tonight. It just seemed like Kentucky was motivated, stimulated, and invigorated to play this game. Obviously, they remembered what happened in Knoxville,
yeah.
and they had the mentality that wasn't going to happen on this particular night.
Well, I thought one thing positive we had, I thought Bone really looked good. He was hitting some of his mid-range shots. I think he hit a three. They couldn't really guard him. But, I agree with you, Tony. I think there were just nothing really we were going to do to win this game, inside or outside. And we struggled with their threes. What were our 3-point numbers for the game from the stats, Tony?
Yeah, 3-point numbers tonight. Tennessee finishes in the game 19%, 3 of 16 from the field.
Which, from threes.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
What was Kentucky? I think they were 10 of 17 at the half.
They were 10 of 17 at the half. They finished 11 of 25 for the game, so they kind of cooled it off in the second half.
But in the second half, we went man more. I mean, it just looked like a lot of those threes they were hitting in the first half, and again, I'm not saying there's any way we were going to win this game, but a lot of those threes we were sloughing off, and to me, after you hit the second one, I'm going, man, I'm staying on people, because Willis was hitting them, Mike hits them, you know. But it was just one of those nights that really nothing.
Hey, there's a reason we've went up there 4 times in the last 40 years now, you know? There you go.
Yep. All right, guys.
Thank you, brother.
See ya.
I mean, there's playing in Alabama, and then there's playing that. Keith, what did you think in terms of what we did defensively tonight? You think that had anything to do in the game tonight with the way it worked, with the way it played out?
I think you have to pick your poison as to what you're going to give them. We don't have anybody that physically matches up with Bam Adebayo that great. Yeah. I mean, people can talk about that Grant Williams did all right against him in high school a few times, but the bottom line is I don't want Grant Williams having to guard him consistently, because I don't want Grant Williams in foul trouble, because he's kind of the fulcrum of our offense right now.
Did we?
So,
that's a good point.
I think they tried to help off. They probably gave Adebayo a little more respect than I would.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Kentucky was moving the ball sharply. I mean, there were a lot of times that the first rotation got back to the guy and closed down on him, and they made the next pass, and then the guy was wide open. They're not a heck of a lot. Good ball movement will beat the best defense.
Guys, was there a hangover from that Georgia game tonight, or was this a case where Kentucky's just better than Tennessee? What do y'all think? Did we see some hangover there?
I thought you saw it a little bit when they got down double figures, but I didn't think it was a factor coming out of the gate.
What do you think, Tone? Hangover?
No, I don't think so. I just think as a coaching staff, what you do is try and stress upon the kids that this is an opportunity. This is a big opportunity for us, especially coming off the Georgia loss. You want to get back on the court. You want to play as soon as possible. And then you want to play in a game that's meaningful. And this game was meaningful. Kentucky was just a better team tonight. And it's going to be nights like that. That's what Mama said. Mama said it was going to be nights like this. And
I think it stays like these, but you're from Detroit and that's kind of where that song came from. So whatever.
That's exactly right.
865-200-5402. If you want to go back to our phone, I'll go back to our phones. The number's 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey guys, Brian over here in North Kakalaki fighting the crud. How y'all doing?
Ah, feel the pain, Brian. Feel the pain.
Yeah. Hatfield, San Antonio, thanks for being there. First things out of the way, you know, Tony, I know you have Lithuania callers and worldwide listeners. You've got a core of old Carson Newman soccer guys that really are devout to you. So I guess the reason I tell you that is, you know, we can appreciate self-expression and creativity. You got to show yourself on the field, the way you wear, the way you dress, maybe your hair. But San Antonio, that fox, that hair by that fox by Kentucky, I'm going to tell him Happy Valentine's Day, because it's not a man bun. Okay, but I think it's not hair on hair violence, but that one actually kind of disturbed me. It wasn't Derrick Henry at the Alabama Clemson game, but he's a good little player, but I don't know about the hair. I don't know if that's, I think that should be two shots in the ball.
I'll tell you what, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm saving my sexuality. He's a cute man. I mean, I'll be honest with you. He looks rather, shall we say, he's nice looking. I mean, he could pass for either sex. He could be a cute girl or a cute guy. No offense, but in women's basketball, he'd be a nice looking player too. He's a nice looking man player and a female player.
I'm surprised Calipari allows it, but I don't want to belabor it. It is what it is.
Allows it. He can come play for me any day of the week and wear a freaking dress like Dennis Rodman after the game. You play like that.
And Hatfield, I don't know what Clancy's does. I know Live or otherwise, but let's give a shout out to the great CCR hit. Not Born on the Bayou, but Bam on the Out of Bayou. I think that's a great, great hit. And we had no answer because he was thunder dunked on us tonight. But, you knew it was going to be bad. Seriously, guys, I appreciate y'all being there. When Bowden misses a layup.
Yeah.
About the 14 minute mark and Monk comes down and hits that three that goes straight up in and out, hits the rim like three times and
right.
goes in.
Which is Tone's point about how soft those rims are. That's what Tone's talking about. And here's the thing, Monk knows Tone from playing on those rims. I just throw it up there and get it up there and let it bounce around. It looked like something at the carnival.
I'm telling you, I've played up there seven times and those rims are really soft, and obviously Kentucky practices there and you know, once you practice at a site, you have the sight lines and you have a familiarity with
yeah.
the rim and things of that nature. Obviously, it takes a special effort to go up to Lexington and win the basketball game. You know what? Let's give it up to Kentucky, guys.
Yep.
Give it up to Kentucky. They played a good game.
Yep.
They took Grant Williams out of the game.
Yes,
Grant
they did.
Williams, the Cole freshman of the week in the SEC, and in my estimation, should be right there.
First team.
With Malik Monk for all SEC honors.
Yep.
And I think should be second team all SEC.
Overall, regardless of class. Wow. Okay.
Regardless of class, they took him out of the game.
Yep.
They ran a guy at him as soon as he caught it in the low post, and they were not going to let him get off.
Yep.
And then our other guys, and our main guy, Robert Huff, he just didn't show up tonight.
Yeah.
And, that's unfortunate.
That happens. Hey, your senior, and like you said before, you're not getting on Hubs, but there's injured, there's hurt. If you're hurt, it's kind of like me, like with the back issues. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to do a remote tomorrow. She said, the hell you are. You're not leaving this house. She said,
right.
I'd like you to live. Which is kind of where they're at with Hubs right now, which is they've got to make a decision. Is he hurt? Is he injured? Are we going to shut him down? Is he going to play? And it'll be interesting to see what they do going yeah. forward here, Tone, because obviously, and Bri, he's not himself. He's just not.
No, well, this is the thing, and you know, I sympathize with you, Tony. I mean, you hurt. I mean, but you
right.
still you working.
Right.
I mean, you competing.
Right.
You gutting it out.
Right.
I mean, if you were injured, you'd be in the hospital preparing for surgery.
Well, that's
right
true.
Now.
That's true.
And that's, you know, who knows if, you know, that eventually is going to come to fruition. But, I mean, that's the thing, man. Everybody's got some bumps and bruises. I mean, this is February, getting ready to be March. Guys are bruised and hurt and things of that nature. So if you're out there, I expect you to contribute like you contributed in the past.
Mm.
And if you're hurt, then just don't play.
Last point, if you're not getting off, I agree with
you. Go ahead, bro.
Sorry, go ahead, Tony.
Go ahead,
I'm just going to say, appreciate y'all's input. I'm sitting here, y'all seeing this Ole Miss LSU, who's 111 in the conference on the 9 o'clock in Oxford. It looks like there's about 70 people at that game.
Are you watching
that's
that?
I've got it on.
Something to somebody? Or are you making like some kind of penance? Or hey, have a good night, man.
Doing what I do.
Good luck with your crud. Keith, jump in here in terms of some of those points and react to what we just talked about, and then we'll go back to the phones. Give me a couple thoughts on Hubs and what you're seeing. And Go ahead.
Look, he doesn't look himself,
right.
But it's really tough to gauge how somebody else handles that or what an injury is. Because, I mean, one of the stories I remember most, and this will be a guy that Tony certainly remembers, was when Damon Flint was at Cincinnati. I mean, Hugs always has, wherever he's been, has had the same rule Tony's talking about. If you're hurt, you got to toughen up and play. But if you're injured, you can't. And Flint had turf toe, which to most people doesn't sound like a big deal. So Hugs is like, oh, man, that can't be that big. And then the trainer reminded him, he goes, that's what ended Jack Lambert's NFL career. Hugs is like, yeah, I probably should give him a couple of days off.
So you got to figure out
a guy's pain threshold.
Right.
And I mean, I think you got to figure out what's wrong with his knee. I mean, I'm sure, and I'm not saying the medical staff hasn't done that.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think he's just suddenly not playing well.
I agree with that.
I think there's certainly a difference there, and you've got to gauge, and maybe it's something that you control his minutes some, and maybe you cut down the wear and tear on him, and that helps or something. Maybe, as much as coaches don't like to do it, I think Hubs has been around long enough and knows what you're doing well enough that maybe he takes every other practice off or something. But you've got to figure out either, because now he's bordering on being a liability out there because people are still respecting him, so he's still growing his man. Eventually, people are going to realize that he can't go by him anymore or doesn't even try to.
Right.
And those baseline jump shots aren't going to be there. People are just going to get up in his shirt.
What was interesting, I charted his touches, guys, the other night in the Georgia game, and he essentially didn't touch it down the stretch against Georgia, which is when you needed to have him, which you wouldn't think that for a senior. But and here's where it's going to get sticky for him. If it continues to go like this, you're going to have a decision to make because look, without him on the floor, I mean it's no foregone conclusion you beat Missouri Saturday the way Missouri's playing right now. It's just not. I mean he's a key player for this team, but he also could be a real detriment, Tone, if he's out there and he can't play. And that's almost worse than not having him, isn't it? Which is kind of your point, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you got to have him out there. Keith makes a good point about every other practice. I know coaching staffs that I've been a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we just sit guys out and they don't practice. And they go for, we have what we call breakdown drills, perimeter and post, and then we do some shooting and things of that nature, and you let him keep his time and rhythm as far as shooting is concerned, but you just don't put the taxation on his body and his legs and bumping around and things of that nature. I don't know how seriously hurt he is. You know, I know Chad Newman, who's the trainer there, who was the trainer, during my tenure there, and Chad is a very capable individual, and I know the greater majority of coaches put the onus on the trainer to tell staff like he can't go coach mm-hmm. or he can go coach
mm-hmm.
this is what he can do, this is what he can't do
mm-hmm.
That's what we've always adhered to, is the training staff, and then go with their counsel. Obviously he's been playing, so he must not be that injured if he's continuing to play. And if he's continuing to play, he's going to have to step up because, just like you said, Tony, this is a topsy-turvy league. I mean, Arkansas goes to Missouri and loses, and then they lose at Vanderbilt at home. Anything can happen in this league, especially in that next wave of teams besides Florida, South Carolina, and Kentucky.
Yeah, you and I were doing the show the other night, and Auburn had a 20-point lead against Ole Miss and blew the game. I mean, you know, like the way these teams play in the middle to the bottom of this league, it is just like you might as well flip a coin from night in and night out. We'll go right to the back to our phones to get as many people in here. It's going to be interesting to see, though, how Tennessee plays that as they lose tonight to Kentucky on the road, 83-58, and quite frankly, in a game where I didn't even see the Tubbs, which I knew early on was going to be a problem, Tonight, just to give you a for instance, in that ball game, and I think some of this was determined by the way the game went, but Hubs only played 24 minutes tonight, and he only attempted six shots. He made two. He got to the foul line four times. He only had two boards. And so it was a pretty quiet 22 minutes from him. 865-200-5402 if you want to jump in with us. Again, 865-200-5402. Back to the phones we go. We get our next call in on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Tony, Hatfield, John Tweet.
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
Yes, sir. Can somebody please tell me what's happened to Shambari Phillips? He played well last year when Punter went down.
Yep.
He hadn't hit an open jumper in forever.
You know,
what's the deal?
I kind of feel you, but I'm kind of with Keith Hatfield, who said earlier tonight, Keith, you thought he was one of the bright spots tonight.
I thought tonight's as engaged as Shambari Phillips has probably been the entire conference season.
Yep.
He got a couple shots. It just seems like is he not one of the better athletes on the team? I mean, he certainly get up and go. I mean,
he looked to me last year like he was going to take the next step, but he hasn't. And you know, you kind of wonder about his future here. When you watch him and you watch his place in their rotation, and tonight he got 18 minutes in the game. He finished with 7 points, but he's been a little bit of a mystifying figure so far. I would agree with that, especially in league play.
And let me ask you guys, for Hubs being hurt, I have yet to see him limp.
Well, that really doesn't. Here's my thing about Hubs. Hubs is a weird player because it's hard when you're not a fiery guy and you're laid back to begin with. You know, I can imagine when you get hurt and you're laid back by nature, naturally you're going to lay back a little more. I mean, I would imagine that would be the case. You'd become a little more hesitant, a little more laid back. The thing Hubs did not do in that Georgia game, and I went back and looked at it because I was just trying to figure out how many touches he had. Keith, he did not look for that intermediate shot that they were going to guys, and they were looking for him in spots where they needed baskets. He was not flashing. He was not getting the ball. I mean, I went back and rewatched it Monday preparing for the show or working on the blog. Keith, he just wasn't there Saturday. Obviously, he's hurt, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think a guy plays as well through the season as he has for most of the year and suddenly disconnects at this point in his career, because, I mean, right now is the difference between him making a nice six-figure check in Italy next year and playing for essentially a working wage in Uzbekistan.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he just suddenly checks out all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean,
there's got to be an explanation there.
So I think he's hurt. I think Tony's right. I think at some point they're going to have to make a decision here, because right now, what you did in that Georgia game is you have no margin for error. I don't care what Joey Buckets tells you. I don't care what any of these people tell you. Absent of winning it at South Carolina and winning the rest of them, I'm not sure Tennessee's getting in, to be honest with you. I know some people want to believe otherwise, and that's fine. But because I'm looking at our league, Keith, and I'm saying I don't know that our league gets four. I don't know that there are four teams in this league.
I don't think there are. And to be honest, I mean, I think it's a stair step thing. You still got to get three wins to make the NIT.
Well, that's interesting. So you don't
even you still got to at worst win your three home games.
But as soon as I say that, the bottom of the bracket is terrible, like you said, and there will be five or six teams in the bottom of that thing that don't belong in anyway, so why not us? So there is that sentiment as well.
Oh, and you'll get, I've said, and people like Jerry Palm, just like he says that they don't do matchups for television, will say this is essentially done blind and people don't get a break.
Right.
We know that's... Why in the hell was Wichita State in the field last year?
Right.
Because of what they'd done the 4 years previous.
Right.
And put it this way, if it's Rick Barnes versus generic Coach X for the final, for the last spot up in Dayton, Tennessee will get it.
Absolutely. And if Cal would lose a few games and they could play their way into
that
play-in
exactly
line,
right.
They would do that in 10 seconds. Seconds.
Jerry Palm would swear on everything holy to him that that was pure happenstance.
Yes.
You would get all the articles about racist Tennessee again, how we hired a white coach. It'll be a mess.
Be a fun day.
All right, boys. Y'all be
Thank
good.
You, Tony. 865-200-5402. Tony is a frequent contributor in NCAA tournaments past. Are you of the belief that when they put those teams together, it's a blind draw, or are you of the belief that it is a made-for-TV deal?
Well, you know what? I've coached in collegiate basketball Division I for 19 years, and I did the schedule for each and every program I was at, and I've done it at the highest level. You got to understand right now in the NCAA selection committee's eyes, Tennessee is 13-12 now.
That's right.
The game against Chaminade doesn't count, not one bit.
That's right.
It's going to be a struggle. I mean, if they can go to South Carolina and win that basketball game, that'd be a huge feather in their cap and give them some momentum. Obviously, you got to win the Missouri game, then you got to win the other game. And then you're going to end up, if you lose to Missouri, which is a probability, lose to South Carolina, which is a probability.
Right.
Probably going to have to win probably two in the SEC tournament, to get in, to be comfortably in. I think you could be on the bubble if you win one, if you win all those games, excluding South Carolina, but it's still an uphill battle. And, with, some of the other factors that we've talked about tonight, Robert Hubbs being injured, just players just not contributing. You know, where was Kyle Alexander tonight?
That's a great question.
What was Lou Evans at tonight? Everybody had almost gave the baton to Kyle Alexander, saying, "Boy, he made the next step." Okay, I mean, you know, back to mediocrity. Lou Evans wasn't really there. Jordan Bolden, he just couldn't make a shot.
Yeah,
Bolden couldn't make a shot tonight. I agree with Keith. Shambari Phillips, he hit a jump shot. It looked like he was engaged tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe coach should have gave him a little bit more time. That's what coaches do. You gotta figure out a hot hand and things of that nature. Lamonte Turner didn't play well at all. I mean, he had been playing well.
Mm-hmm.
I've given it up to Lamonte. The last two games, he's been playing well, but he didn't play well tonight. And that's for Coach Barnes and the staff to be able to find a spark plug, a hot hand, to be able to, garner some momentum in a situation like that. But it was tough. It was Kentucky's night, and we got to look forward to Saturday against Missouri at Thompson Bowling Arena.
Keith, you know what's been? Go ahead, Keith, and we'll go back to the phones.
No.
Go ahead, Keith.
We're talking about the NCAA being made for TV. Tony Jones was part of one of the biggest setups they've ever had. Was the year Wisconsin-Milwaukee, everybody in America saw they were one of the live dogs of the tournament, and they played Bruce Pearl's alma mater, Alabama, and Illinois, and I think we all know what that meant, having Bruce Pearl play Illinois.
No, we played Alabama the first round, Keith, and then we played Boston College.
You got Pearl's alma mater in the second round, that's right.
That's right, BC.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was definitely made for TV. And then we played the number one team in the country, Illinois, with Bruce Weber and Darren Williams and Dee Brown and Luther Head and those guys. And then
it's not like Bruce had any history with Illinois, Tony. So yeah, it's not. Yeah, I'm sure that was purely random by the selection committee.
You know, back to the guard rotation, and then we'll go back to the phones. What's weird, Tony, and we were talking about this the other day, is that minutes come and go with the guards. And one of the points that somebody made earlier in the week, which is a great point, is that Tennessee, for the most part, hasn't had in close games bone on the floor. Tonight, and I'm talking about at the end of games, it's almost like they don't trust him. Tonight he plays 32. I'm just looking at the way that the minutes were dispersed tonight. Turner, who you said early on, just for whatever reason, body language-wise, whatever it was, it just didn't look like his night early, only plays 14 minutes in the game. Phillips, who you guys both were discussing a second ago, gets 18 minutes tonight. Parker, who is on the side of a milk carton right about now, only played a minute in a blowout basketball game. Keith, it's weird how Bones' minutes fluctuate. And it's not like they're consistent. It's been odd the way he's been kind of on the floor, off the floor.
I think he probably, as much as anybody, if you watch Barnes's demeanor and his interactions with players, I don't know that anybody frustrates him more often than Bone, because, I mean, one thing I noticed Saturday watching the Georgia game and a couple other games this year that he didn't play down the stretch in, I've never seen a guy shoot a runner off the wrong foot more often than he does. And that's got to drive a guy that's all about shooting form like Barnes is. When you got a guy jumping off his right foot and shooting with his right hand constantly, that's got to drive him crazy.
But he's so damn quick, Tone. That's the deal with him. I mean, that's the deal with Bones' game.
He's a very quick player, but I think right now, in this instance, I think Coach trusts Lamonte Turner a little bit more at the end of the game. Obviously, Lamonte Turner makes big shots. He's made big shots, obviously. Ole Miss game, made big shots. Played well at Auburn. He was in at the end of the game against Georgia. So I think Coach may have a little bit more confidence in him. I think tonight's game, Tony, is a little bit more of an aberration because it really wasn't a game.
Right.
And Jordan had hit some shots. I think he scored 15, maybe 17 points. So he kind of felt that he would go with Jordan. But Lamonte Turner is this guy, if it's a tight game at the end. And then Quay Parker, I think he's a guy that just, you know, may look to move on at the end of the year, especially when you got the young man Jalen that's sitting out and guys that they still trying to recruit.
Your point about Alexander tonight is an interesting one, because all the progress he made last couple games, he's given it back. Tonight, guys, goose eggs. You ready? 0 points. Didn't attempt a shot. Didn't get to the line, had 3 boards, and that's it. And he played 7 minutes. I mean, that's a guy, that's borderline why make the trip territory for that guy tonight.
Well, he fumbled 3 layups away in the first 4 minutes.
That's right.
And he's got good hands. I mean, that's the frustrating thing is, he strikes me as one of these guys that has kind of the same problem that Scottie Hobson did, is that he lets one mistake become two, which becomes three, which becomes you just have to sit him because he can't do anything.
That's how I am when I do the talk radio thing. One mistake. My first mistake was putting Tony Jones on here. Then I added you. Then I added Griff. And now it's a damn nightmare. So we go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, this is Kenny calling.
Hey, Kenny. Appreciate you being there.
Hey, guys. I'm really glad these two teams play twice a year now. Do you remember Keith a couple years ago when they only played once? There was 1 year just in Thompson Bowling, 1 year in Rupp. And do you think that'll continue, that, been playing twice a year? Because this is, to me, the best series in the league. You know, they've beaten Kentucky more times than any other team, lost to them more times, but I think it's been a great series.
Yeah, we're back to playing them twice every year, Keith. Well,
play them and Vanderbilt twice every year.
Yeah, and that's a great decision the league made. Tennessee and Kentucky need to play twice. I don't care. You take a beating, whatever. That needs to happen twice a year because we got them this year in our building.
Right, and you probably mentioned it before. Is the South Carolina game a must-win? I know they all kind of are, but
yes. If you want to go, to the NCAA tournament. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a must-win.
So you couldn't have lost to them in the SEC tournament with 14 losses, wouldn't get in.
I don't think you've got to get another signature win. I mean, at some point you got to beat somebody, and that would be. And that would be an opportunity to get one. Now, whether they can do it or not, I don't know. With Hobson, Hubs's health and some of the other things. Look, I'm worried about Missouri Saturday, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, but the thing is with this league, we don't know what Alabama's record is going to be when they roll in here the last game of the season.
No doubt about it. And their history is that they'll, if there's something on that line for both of us, their history is they'll beat us. That's the history of this
thing.
League.
They may walk you. Alabama, that's the thing. Greenberg and Andy Katz were both talking. I agree with them right now. The SEC's a three-bid league, but there are probably five teams that if they rattled off five of their last six would have a case to make to be in the tournament.
Yep.
Keith, what's the deal with this league? You know, when Arkansas hit the league with Nolan Richardson in the 90s, hit with fire, and they haven't been the same. But, you know, back in the day, you remember the Rick Pitino teams, you know, obviously Bruce Pearl and Nolan Richardson. This was a nice league. It had sometimes multiple Final Four teams. But now, I mean, a three-bid team league, possibly a good chance with 14 teams. I mean, is this league going to get back to the days and get 6-7 in the tournament again?
Mm.
Well, if this league's not back to getting 6 or 7 teams in a couple of years with the quality of coaches that people have gone out and gotten, and I'm sure that LSU and Missouri intend on going out and getting this year, I think you just have to look and say that for whatever reason, be it the obsession with football or whatever, that you just have to start wondering if this league can do it because, I mean, if Bruce Pearl's not going to win at Auburn, who is? If Ben Howland's not going to win at Mississippi State, who is? If Rick Barnes isn't going to win at Tennessee, who is? And certainly you get a quality coach in at Missouri. You get LSU, who's traditionally been probably as good a postseason team outside of Kentucky and the little short run Florida's had. I mean, LSU's probably made as many Final Fours as anybody in the league. You get them a quality coach and then they don't win. I mean, you got to start thinking that it's not. I mean, it's easy. It was easy to see why the league was no good when you had Rick Ray and guys like that in it. I mean, sure. You can't bring in coaches learning on the job who probably should be in the Colonial Conference just starting their careers and say, "Hey, go coach in a power league." But I mean, at this point now, you can't look around this league. There's not a coach in this league other than maybe Kim Anderson, and I mean, the guy's got a Division II national championship himself. I mean, there's not a team in this league you can look at, for the most part, that isn't about to fire their coach, certainly, that you can say, why is that guy in this league?
Right. And I got a question for both of you guys. This is a football, basketball. What program will take a bigger drop-off when Calipari leaves Kentucky or Saban leaves Alabama? Those shoes won't be filled.
Thank you for the call.
Saban. Alabama. I don't think that's even close.
Yeah, Tony, you have a thought on this league in terms of the quality of coaches in it and how we just continue to look out. And I mean, like we're saying tonight, all things being equal tonight, if tonight ends at the end of tonight, it's a three-bid league, which is kind of shocking. I mean, we're playing better schedules than we have, which I give the league a lot of credit for that. They got involved in that. So they've increased the schedule. Tried to at least make an attempt to play people. You have a thought, Tone, on what we're seeing in this league?
Well, you know what? With me talking about coaches, you know, it's a part of my, those are all colleagues of mine, guys that I know, and competed against and liked, for the better part of it. You know, Florida did a good job in bringing Mike White there. Mike had a body of work at La Tech. He was a former SEC player. He played at Ole Miss. He was a former Ole Miss assistant. So they kind of really righted the ship. And in my estimation, they're the best team in the SEC right now. Kentucky is Kentucky. Frank has done a good job at South Carolina. It seems like his philosophy and the players have bought into his hard-nosed, tough brand of basketball. So you got those teams. Like Keith mentioned, LSU has to be back in the national picture. It's just a national program. I mean, too many great players and in some instances coaches. They have to get a coach up there that's going to bring
the prominence back to that team. You know, Missouri, I mean, Missouri is a basketball school. SEC brought Missouri to the SEC for basketball, not for football. And then, Missouri's football in the East, they exceeded expectations. But Missouri is a great basketball program, great facilities, great region, and things of that nature. And then, you're going to have, in some instances, the years where the Vanderbilts are going to be good, where the Mississippis is going to be good, yep. The Mississippi States are going to be good. Obviously, Georgia is a hotbed for high school and AAU basketball. So the league can be good. The league coaches have to make the commitment to play solid non-conference schedules, get good quality coaches in there, and then we could see a 6 or 7 bid league team, league like we did during our days when we were at Tennessee, when obviously Florida was in it. Tennessee was in it. Kentucky.
Well, there's just no way. There's no way with the budgets and the facilities you've got in this league, there's no reason you should only have essentially a fifth of your teams making the NCAA tournament. I mean, back when this was a 10-team league, yeah, I could see maybe in a year here and there, you only get 3 in. There are 14 teams in this league, for God's sake.
And the mystifying thing, really, and Tone's got a great point about Missouri, is obviously the league wanted St. Louis, they wanted that state, they wanted that region, they wanted a major market. Okay, fine. But when they came in, Missouri basketball has always been very good. They're right now all-time bad. They're not just bad. They're intramural basketball bad. They're the Indian in the PSA commercial when the litter washes up to shore and he's got a tear in his eye. It's 6:30 in the morning when Tony used to watch midget wrestling.
That's Norm Stewart standing outside their arena most nights.
Exactly. I mean, what in the world?
Don't forget Rich Daly right next to Norm.
Yep.
There you
Dr.
go.
Dr. Detroit.
I'm going to go back to our phones, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in here with us on a night where Tennessee gets thumped by Kentucky and we're trying to pick up the pieces. Tennessee loses tonight 83-58. It's 2 in a row for the Vols. They fall to 6-7 in the SEC, and the aforementioned Missouri now becomes a must win. It is a non-negotiable basketball game now Saturday. All hands on deck. They need to get on those guys early. They need to put that team out of their misery, because here's the thing that Missouri's done. Missouri all of a sudden has life. Missouri has life. And I'm of the opinion that our team is capable, and we've seen this year, playing up to anybody, playing down to anybody, and stick around for 8 minutes, 8-10 minutes if you don't like how it's going, because it could flip the other way. Saturday's game scares me. It's an early game. It's not a late game. It's a 1 o'clock start. It's kind of like that Georgia game scared me. This game scares me a little bit. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. To our next caller, hello and welcome in.
Hey, Raj,
what's up, man?
That's about time, man. How's it going, buddy? How's
hanging
going?
In here, buddy. Hanging in.
How's it about, Tony?
Hey, Raj, thank you so much for asking me, man. I went to the hospital yesterday. They did a little epidural thing on me.
Yeah.
Right there on my nerve, and I'm not sure what bothered me more, them shooting that right on my nerve yesterday, which is completely inflamed. I will say this. Today I can use my left leg and I can actually walk, which is nice. It's nice to be able to walk a little bit, Raj. These things we take for granted in life.
That's true.
Haven't been able to walk for a couple of weeks, Raj.
Oh, wow. I'll just plan for you, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Sure. That's one reason I have Valentine's TR2.
Happy Valentine's to you, Raj.
Well, thanks. Hey, buddy. And wanted to ask y'all about the game tonight. I was really sad. I was kind of sad tonight, losing like that. Tony Jones, I want to ask you about it. You played a referral team at Kentucky. What happened to the effort? Good the time was given that the whole district and top Kentucky for the school, and it was really Kentucky got on a run. What happened to Tennessee? Why can't we stop them, Tony? What happened, Tony, with that run?
Thanks for the Happy Valentine's Day shout out, Roger, and Happy Valentine's Day to you also. It's a very unique place to play. Every seat in the arena is full. It's a place that can be intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
A place as an athlete, as a competitor that you want to be able to compete there. It's all about confidence. If you garner some confidence early, you stay in the game and you let the officials know that you're going to be around. And then they're gonna give you a decent whistle. But tonight we kind of fell behind early, and I think we lost our confidence. And then it was just a snowball effect.
Mm.
And then it really wasn't a game. It really wasn't a game after halftime. You know, we were just playing out the string. We talked about it earlier. Us playing Kentucky twice a year. And that's always going to be a special game for the Tennessee faithful. We didn't get it tonight. We just got to move on. I mean, Tony has mentioned on several occasions tonight, he's scared of that Missouri game. You know, he's bringing that to bear in my consciousness also. I mean, if we lose the game against Missouri,
we're talking about
maybe not even getting into the NIT, because you got to be 500 to get to the NIT. And it's a big game. Let's get this thing turned around. Let's garner some momentum and head into Columbia, South Carolina, and go at it again in a big game and see what happens.
Right, you're right. And Tony, I just want to tell you thank you for the my aunt. Well, I went today to get some chocolates. My aunt, I want to say thank you for that. My aunt lives on Tony, but I went today and again this afternoon. She lives on Tony. I just want to say thank you.
Hey, Raj, I want to say, of all the people that won the chocolate covered strawberries from Bradley's, I'm most glad that you got them, babe. That makes me feel like I did something worthwhile this week. Honestly. It really does. You tell your aunt I love her. And I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Keith, since you got win Saturday, how they bounce back now from the losing two to row now, how they bounce back now? You think now? That's losing twice now, you think, Keith?
Well, I think if they just come out focused Saturday, I mean, Missouri's just not, I mean, they're not an SEC level team. I mean, that's a bottom feeder Missouri Valley Conference team that just happens to be in the SEC right now. There's no reason. If Tennessee comes out with an effort and they're focused Saturday, that game should be over 15 minutes in.
You're right. All right. Have a good one.
Thank you, Raj. Good talking to you. Guys, we got an hour out of our post game tonight, out of that damn bloodletting.
And the only other place in the league they do more than probably 10 minutes are the guys up the road we played tonight.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. Tone, I have put that in your consciousness. Now, Hatfield says that he's right. I mean, basically what Mizzou has right now is they've got a team that looks like they would be a pickup team somewhere.
They're Drake.
They're not very good.
Yeah, they're essentially Drake.
But they have one okay player, and on any given day, that's what's so crazy about that game. On any given day, you give somebody life, especially the way Hubs is kind of hobbling around. I mean, go ahead.
They were this bad last year, and they beat us.
Well, there you go.
I mean, it's not like they're markedly worse this year than they were last year. I mean, they were sorry as all get out last.